Alan, can you talk, you mentioned the various combinations that have been utilized. Can you talk again more from a global, without going through the exact numbers, what your take is about the efficacy and tolerability of these various combinations?
So what I would say is that the triplet combination, either with an irinotecan, a MEK and BRAF, or an EGFR MEK and BRAF, the efficacy is probably response rate in the 20 to 30% range. The issue is durability, and with a triplet, you get a little bit more durable response. It's not a single disease. So there are subsets of patients with BRAF V600D mutations who will do better than the rest. But on average, you're looking at maybe an incremental benefit of 3 or 4 months. The issue with the BRAF mutant patient, though, is if you're not ready to switch, then you can miss the opportunity. So when we first realized that BRAF was something we could target and started looking to do it, I'd say over the first 6 months of the studies, you identify a patient, the patient comes to you, get the BRAF status, a couple weeks go by, you get the ophthalmologist to see the patient because you're gonna give him a MEK inhibitor, you get the skin analysis, all these things, and by that time the performance status has declined and the patient couldn't even go on study. The patients rapidly progress at that juncture, very often, and so what we had to learn, what we did to get
these... And you think it's related to the BRAF?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And wow. So the frontline, first-line therapy was not terribly different. Response duration may be a little less than you'd expect, but when they progressed and meant it. And so what we had to do is we had to start lining patients up to go on the combination BRAF study so that they didn't have to wait very long. I'm sure we all saw that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the challenges, I'm thinking now from the community practitioner standpoint, they may have less access to this rapidity of getting the tissue, testing it for BRAF, because as Alan alluded to, you lose your window of opportunity so quickly, even in the first line. And it's important to understand, you know, whether those are BRAF mutated. So two strategies follow. You know, it's not too hard to suspect BRAF mutation clinically. Those are the patients who look incredibly sick and, as I said, you know, may have peritoneal seeding earlier on. Now, interestingly, there's a small subgroup of those patients who does incredibly well. I don't understand exactly why. I don't think anyone does. But the majority do incredibly bad. Those are the patients where you really need that BRAF mutational analysis available to you as close to day one as possible. So this is where I've occasionally used a liquid biopsy in addition to sending the request for a tissue biopsy. Because I was concerned, and I recall...
If you see BRAF, you're there.
And I saw BRAF in that one particular patient, and the tissue was taking quite a bit. And so we switched very quickly from FOLFIRI-BEV, we added the oxaliplatin. I mean, the outcome, unfortunately, was not great for this patient, young lady, but it at least, you know, informed us earlier on about where we were at. And it allowed us essentially to expose her in the second line sooner than waiting essentially for another test to come. Now, the tissue test did confirm the findings in the liquid test in this case.